All right. If you would stand for the reading of God's word, please, in honor of his word. Out of the Message Bible, it reads in this wise. About the time Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from Galilee to town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Say it with me. The time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. But I thank you, Lord, that your word permeates our heart, permeates our mind, and changes our soulless realm. Father, I just thank you right now for the equipping of your saints, Father, through your word. Your word, Father God, enables us, Lord, to move forward into our destiny as we discover it down the journey that we're on. So, Father, I just thank you that everything that you've destined for us to do, Father, I thank you that you've given us instructions in your word. And I thank you that you've given us insight on what is to come and what we are to face. I thank you for the helper that is here today to help us understand what the messenger is saying in this very hour. I thank you for the spirit of revelation and illumination to go forth, that the enemy has no control and cannot take away revelation. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, right now, in Jesus' mighty name, I bind every lethargic and confusing spirit right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for the heaviness and the burden, Father God, to be cast at your feet right now in Jesus' mighty name. Now, that Antichrist spirit in the name of Jesus, you are bound. I take authority over you and every foul spirit in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you for liberty in this house, for your presence is here. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. You may be seated as I continue to read. I want you, if you would, while you're in your Bible, go down, please, to verse 41 in Luke 2 out of the Message Bible. I will continue to read. Every year, Jesus' parents traveled to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, say 12 years old, they went up as they always did for the feast. And when it was over, they left for home. The child Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents didn't know it. Thinking he was somewhere in the company of pilgrims, they journeyed for a whole day and then began looking for him among the relatives and neighbor. When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. The next day, they found him in the temple seated among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. The teachers were all quite taken with him, impressed with the sharpness of his answers. But his parents were not impressed. They were upset and hurt. His mother said, "Young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you." He said, "Why are you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be here dealing with the things of my father?" But they had no idea what he was talking about. So he went back to Nazareth with him and lived obediently with him. His mother held these things dearly deep within herself, and Jesus matured, growing up in both body and spirit, blessed by both God and people. What I want to share with you here is that 12 years old, he's found in the temple, and he states to his earthly mother and father that I must be in my father's business. Now, they all knew that they already took the census. They already knew that he was a child of Joseph the carpenter, but how is it that he states something that where he's supposed to be? And here's what I challenge you to do. Will you start stating where you're going to be as opposed to what you're doing now? He could have said, "Daddy Joseph, I'm the carpenter, but right now I'm going to go take a look of where my future is." So the title of this message is Back to the Future. No, this isn't the one with Michael J. Fox and the DeLorean that gets in there, takes you back in time. We have a tendency to look back over the course of our life to understand where we're going. Have you not seen that? Maybe I need to paint a clearer picture. Sometimes we have a tendency to look back and see what we have been through, that is that going to shape us for our future. But maybe it's just shaping you for your now. Because you don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. And in your tomorrow, it's shaping you for the next day. Your destiny is always discovered. It's not always going to be given to you. It's discovered on your journey. Jesus at 12 years old. Now listen good. For some of you that know about numerology, at 12 years old, he's in the temple. The next time you read about Jesus doing his ministry is 13 years later. 13 years later, he begins doing his ministry. Isn't that something? Here we are in 2013. And 2013 was a year that if I looked over the course of time through the messages from different prophets, different people of God, we have noticed that over the course of time, people were learning something about themselves and about the relationship that they had, once had, or were about to have with Jesus. Do you understand? 2013 was basically, let me reveal to you about you. Now here we are getting ready to embark in 2014. A new door is about to open for you. A new door. But before the new door can be opened, the old door has to be shut. You can't go into 2014 carrying 2013. It just can't be done. You can't walk in 2013 and 2014 at the same time. 2013 has to be shut. And 2014 will be opened. That's why there's a closure. There's a closure. Can we get some closure? Can we get some closure? Natalie, I don't know who you brought, but you're going to get closure. Because you need closure. And not just because another year, but you've had a series of years this way. Series of years. Being let down, broken, hurt, and actually walking in ambiguity. What are you going to do next? This door is going to be closed for you, and you're going to step into the right relationship. Not the one that keeps hurting you, not the one that keeps lying about you, but the one that's going to love you and the one that's going to help you. And when you have that understanding that you deserve to have this, it's not going to change. You've gone through some very hard times and you've lost some people in your life. I say this, I'll stop the whole service just to speak to you. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying. Your life is about to change for the better. What you've contemplated, and I'll be very delicate, what you've contemplated is not going to take place. You're worth so much more. So much more. I speak the peace of God over your life to keep you and to allow you to see how beautiful you really are. And every word that was spoken into your ear gates that was not of God, I take control over it. I take authority over it now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. I heard that. Where you feel that you're not going to be able to, you will. You will. I decree it and I prophesy over you that it shall come to pass. 6 months into the new year, some things are going to begin to line up. And as it begins to line up, you're going to step in to a new identity of really who you are. Think it not strange that before even 2014 enters in, and I know exactly where we're at. It's a strong prophetic statement I'm about to make to you. Things are about to be cut loose off of your life. It may hurt. I'm not going to lie, it may hurt. You may be in the process right now of it. But know this, it is for your good. It is for your good. I bless you. I bless you. For Jesus loves you more than you will ever imagine. You're not alone. Even though you feel like you are at times. You're not alone. And I know this by faith, beloved. You're going to see better days ahead of you. For your best and blessed are right ahead of you. Amen. Let your past go. Don't take it into 2014. Don't. And whatever ailment that has come at you, it's a lie. It's spiritual. It's not truth. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 2013 is coming to a close, and we need to close it. But what I want you to remember is that, as I said at the very beginning, that it was time for her to give birth. Say time. It was time for her to give birth. Whew. I love it. I love it. I love it. Verse 6 and 7 of Luke chapter 2 says this. While they were there, the time came. Say, the time came. For her to give birth. We know that Jesus was the Son of God. We know that Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And we also know that when you carry a pregnancy, there is a duration of time. Do we not know that? I mean, we know it just doesn't happen. Well, kind of, but not really. But it takes time. It takes time. And as it takes time, there's also that time for fulfillment. Correct? Are you following me? There is times that we need to understand that we're getting something that is given to us by God, but it has time to be within us first. But when His timing, which is the Kairos that comes from God only, as God's time, steps into your time, this time, your Chronos, is where you have now a time that God has instituted for your time now to have a God encounter. Do you understand? The beginning was when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and says, you will be pregnant and you will give birth to a male child and you shall call him Emmanuel. God is with us. Now that was a Kairos moment coming into the Chronos moment so that there would be a God. Some of us have been waiting for the God moment to come into your now moment. And I'm here to prophesy to you that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Oh, it's going to happen. You've labored, you've toiled, you went through so much. You have also put seed into the ground. Not only that, you began to water the seed all year long, some of it with your tears. Some of it, when you couldn't even cry no more, your tear sockets were dry. But it was something inside of you that began to water, which was faith. Even when you didn't see it produce. It comes a time when we begin to harvest all these trees. But before they were trees, there were things going on underneath the surface that you couldn't see. And that was during the time that the process was taking place. But out of the seed comes greatness. One of the great seeds that I love the most is of the oak tree. It's a small little oak thing, seed. But if you leave it alone, if you just leave it alone, it becomes a mighty oak. But it doesn't become a mighty oak at the beginning of time. But what's inside that seed has the tendency to become very big, to withstand many storms. Because it grows at a pace that you wouldn't recognize the growth. Y'all missed it, you missed it. You know, have you ever seen some things, and I know you're coming to a close at your job for the year, it gets hectic around this time, but come around March, April, May, you kind of see a spurt that takes place of people coming in, coming out. There's an influx of people coming in and out, and not to give your business out there, but I believe what's going to take place in your life is the fulfillment of what she has been praying for quite a long time. And I believe that this is about to take place even now. And only because as I was looking at a movie last night that I really should have been asleep. But I just happened to just had a good dinner, Janelle. Real good dinner. And it was talking to me, so I said, I better just stay up, Janelle. And I just started watching TV just so that I could, you know, just kind of let it just rest. And it was called, I think it was called Fool's Gold. Fool's Gold. With Matthew McConaughey and what was the other one? What's her name? Goldie Hawn's daughter. What's her name? No. What's that again? Kate Hudson. Is that her? Is that her? Now watch this. Watch this, Janelle. Watch this. Baya. Have you been praying for it not to be something that is looking like something that is worth something, but in the end not worth anything at all? But now comes a time when they had to go and look in a different area of where everybody else was looking. Y'all hear me? Hear me? Now all of a sudden they get to the place and they didn't have to struggle for this treasure. It was there all along. In the shallows. In the shallows. What took place on the 24th? At your house was a culmination of prayers, prophecy, seed for it to come to pass. More and more. I looked at those pictures and I was so mad that I wasn't there. But then the Lord showed me each and every face that I was looking at, a fulfillment. When others were looking in the deep, God said, I found them for you. I brought them to the shallows so that all you had to do was go and gather and gather. You will have many more. And I prophesied that to you, that there'll be many more coming to your house and there will be a gathering in your house. What you have labored for in the deep, you will find in your shallows. You won't have to work hard, baby. That's what I'm telling you. Your shallows, he hid it for you. That you'll reap of it in the season that he's created for you. Oh, yeah. Ooh, many of you can relate to some of the things that you had to go through a tough season. But now all of a sudden you just get to that place. It was there all along. But as we look back over the course of the year, you know, like the Facebook timelines, you know, because you can only see what's recently posted unless you just keep clicking all the way down, click, click, click. But if you just go all the way out and it says 2013, 2012, 2010, 2009, 2000, and so on, you can click on the year and go back to the past to see what you've been through, what you posted, and what was important to you. Could you not? It's called a timeline of your past. But to get to the future, God is saying, don't look to your past, for it is history. But look to where I'm about to take you based upon what you've been through. You see, what has been your struggle in 2013? That one struggle is going to be the thing that you are going to be walking and resting in. You will have dominion over it. Watch this. I'm not telling you 2014 is the year to ding, ding, there it is. It ain't no microwave. You put it in for a set time and it happens. It's not where you can put it in for a quick minute and everything comes out good. I've tried cooking in a microwave. I burn my tongue every single time. Put me in a little top ramen and make me a spread. But I bring that top ramen out. And if I eat it right away, I'll just go ahead and burn my tongue. Because there's a process that everything that we do must take its process. And you're in that door of process. Haven't we seen throughout the messages it's been a process? A process. Now let's shut the door of the process. And now let's advance into our new. And open the door with the key that he gave us. Here's the key. I just read it to you. He was doing what he was supposed to do in his father's house. But then Mary and Joseph said, boy, you had us out of our minds. Looking for you. Now come home. Prophesying to you. The coming home is taking place. It's taking place. Many think that they can just, I get a little bit of word in me, and I'm going to go and start my own ministry. Yeah. Shut your mouth. There you go. Even Jesus was told by the father and the mother, come home, Sit down. Yep. 13 years. Yep. But in that process of being obedient, he now steps back on the scene 13 years later when he begins his ministry at 30 years old. And when he begins into it, guess what happens? The first thing he begins to do, not like most of y'all are going to believe that he went and he turned the water into wine. If you read about it, he began to heal, cleanse, deliver, and set the people free. Because in reality, it took place after he was baptized. Jeff, what is baptism? Baptism is letting go of the old and stepping into the new. Are you hearing me? I should have just set up the baptismal tank. Whoo! Y'all would say, well, I wasn't ready. It's okay. We're never ready. But it's when God's timing comes into your natural time and he begins to give you a God encounter that things begin to change. All of a sudden, what you have been laboring for, praying for, fighting for, you know, clawing and you know, hissing because you've gone through some stuff. Just trying to help you because I know I ain't the only one. But what happens is, all of a sudden, it just hits you. And you've stepped in to a God moment. And what did you do different? Nothing. It's not saying that when you were planting your seeds that you weren't believing. It's just throughout that course of time, you didn't see what was taking place beneath the surface. What takes place beneath the surface after you planted something? See, because I'm just going to. Josh, can you do, Joseph, do me a favor, please. Do me a favor. Right outside the back door, right there to your right, is those poinsettias. Just bring me one. Just bring me one poinsettia, please. Here's something I want to share with you. I like flowers. Joy, I like flowers. I like plants. I guess I got it from Memo. My grandmother loved plants. Do you remember that room that was built in the back? It was, I think Hanno fixed it with all that plastic and it was all covered. And you walk in there and you hear, wah, wah. It was like a jungle back there. We used to play hide and seek. We can hide in there real good. You can, because there was plants everywhere. Andale, mi mata, ponle para allá, por favor. And she would talk to them. You stand right there. You look so handsome, Joseph. Now, what I wanted to share with you is that there's a process. These poinsettias don't just bloom all year long. Only during the time that we know to be Christmas that the leaves turn from green to red. When you come into Christianity, you're green. But it's a process in order for you to come to fulfillment and to maturity, and then you go through the process of turning red. But have you ever busted one of these things? Why, what is coming out of there? Is it milk? It looks white, isn't it? But it's just like the red of the blood of Jesus that will make you white as snow. What should have been something clear in nature to come out? Because remember, what comes from the roots is what it's going to sprout. And it looks so, so pretty. But in all actuality, it's very poisonous. Very poisonous. So we have these poinsettias all over the place. They look so pretty, Mita. Look here, look here. And then right inside, I don't know if you can see this, but there is a little, you know, the beginning process of some more leaves. It looks like a little flower in there. But it's a bulb. You don't know that within in that little bulb, it's beginning to mature. But in that maturing process, people can't see it. Can't see it. But what Jesus was doing at 12 years old is like, I'm mature in my spirit, but I wasn't mature in my natural. Now, if Jesus would have stepped into his ministry at 12 years old, many prophecies would have never been fulfilled. he, Jesus himself, would have got ahead of his father, God. And many during this time when you don't see nothing being fulfilled, want to get ahead of God. I'm going somewhere with this, Joseph. I am. Is it getting heavy? It's good. If I was to tell you to stand here this whole time throughout the whole service, would it get a little heavy for you? Would it get a little awkward for you to stand up here throughout the whole service? Be honest. Yeah, right? Here's my point. God has put responsibilities in your hand, and it gets hard. It gets difficult, and it gets very tiresome, especially when everybody's looking at you. My question to you is, are you willing to weather it for his good? Even when everybody's looking at you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Now, I ain't forgot about you. See, that's why nobody likes sitting at the front. I pick on them too much. You ever wonder who you are in the Bible? You ever wonder who you are? Wow, some people say Martha. Martha. I want to show you what I believe God is saying in this very hour to many of you. That have gone on and lost loved ones. And now you find yourself alone in a very trying time. This is in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. When the eighth day arrived, the day of circumcision, the child was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. Then when the days stipulated by Moses for purification were complete, they took him up to Jerusalem to offer him to God as commanded in God's law. Every male who opens the womb shall be holy, offering to God. And also the sacrifice, the pair of doves or two young pigeons prescribed in God's law. In Jerusalem at that time, there was a man, Simeon by name, a good man, a man who lived in the prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit had shown him that he would see the Messiah of God before he died. Led by the Spirit, he entered the temple as the parents of the child Jesus brought him in and carrying out the rituals of the law. Simeon took him into his arms and blessed God. God, you can now release your servant. Release me in peace as you promised. With my own eyes, I've seen your salvation. It's now out in the open for everyone to see. A God revealing light to the non-Jewish nations and of glory for your people Israel. Jesus' father and mother were speechless with surprise at the words of Simeon. Simeon went out to bless them and said to Mary, his mother, this child marks both the failure and the recovery of many in Israel. A figure misunderstood and contradicted, the pain of a sword thrust through you, but the rejection will force honestly, as God reveals who they really are. Verse 36, by him. Anna, the prophetess, was also there, a daughter of Phanuel, for the tribe of Asher. She was by now a very old woman. She had been married 7 years and widow for 84. She never left the temple area, worshiping night and day with her fastings and prayers. At that very time, Simeon was praying and showed up and broke into an anthem of praise to God and talked about the child to all who were waiting expectantly for their freeing of Jerusalem. Some of us go through a season where we're alone. And we feel that we have been left out or not accounted for. But he leaves you in the place where you're supposed to be in time of praying and a time of fasting near the temple. Did you read that? Now, I'm not saying that you're old. I'm not saying that you're 88 years old and this is who you are. I'm saying that God has put you in a position of praying and fasting for things to come to pass. Do you understand that? You may be alone. You may not be seeing things come into fulfillment right now. But through the prayer and through the fasting, there's a door that's about to be open, and you're going to step back into your future. back into your future. Sometimes we have to understand, just like that movie, Back to the Future, we have to gas up this DeLorean that would take us back in time, Joy. We have to gas it up. We have to fuel up so that it can take us where we need to go. And that is the Word of God. And that Word of God is going to propel you to where you need to go. It'll take you, watch this, to your past to get rid of the bondage that is there that has kept you for many years. But only to propel you to your future. The door of 2013 is coming to a close. And 2014 is about to be open to you with prayer and fasting. Some of my leaders are going to get this. It's with prayer and fasting. Now what I want you to do, please go to Galatians 6, please. Galatians 6, verse 4. Out of the Message Bible, it reads in this wise. Make a careful exploration of you, of who you are, and the work you have been given. Then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Be very sure now, you who have been trained to a self-sufficient maturity, that you enter into a generous common life with those who have trained you, sharing all the good things that you have and experience. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. Weeds. Weeds, not weed. Weeds. Weeds. All have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests the crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, say right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. At the right time, we will harvest our crop. The right time. When God's timing meets your timing, you're going to see a God encounter. When he meets you at that place, what we would call the crossroad of our faith. Not the faith that brings you into the kingdom, but the faith that is still called hope in him. The hope of glory. That crossroads where you begin to think that you're not going to make it anymore. He'll bring you out. So he can take you in. He'll meet you at that place of your hard times. He'll meet you at that place of your down times. He'll meet you at that place of the lean times, the depressed times, the crying times, the losing times. You know the times. The times that you don't want to talk to people about those times. He'll meet you right there. That's the God that we serve. That's the Christ that was born. He was born to give us hope. Hope. A future and salvation. Salvation for eternal life. I want you to go to Ecclesiastes 3, please. Ecclesiastes 3, written by the wisest man on earth, which is Solomon. Begins to tell us, Ecclesiastes 3 at verse 1, there is an opportune time to do the things and a right time for everything on earth. A right time for birth and another for death. A right time to plant and another to reap. A right time to kill and another to heal. A right time to destroy and another to construct. A right time to cry and another to laugh. A right time to lament and another to cheer. A right time to make love and another to abstain. A right time to embrace and another to impart. A right time to search and another to count your losses. A right time to hold on and another to let go. A right time to rip out and another to mend. A right time to shut up and another to speak up. A right time to love and another to hate. A right time to wage war and another to make peace. It is when the chronos of God comes into the kairos of God comes into your chronos and you begin to see it is the right time. It is a time where you begin to harvest what you have been laboring for. It is the right time when the door has opened into your fruitfulness, the fulfillment, and the harvest time. It is a time that you go forth and collect what everything that you have lost is now being brought back to you. It's time to go get what is rightfully yours. It is that right time now. Say right time. No, I said say right time. I want you to high five three people. If you got to get up out of your chair and go to the back row, high five three people and say right time. It is the right time. What time? The right time. What right time is it? It's my harvest time. What right time is it? It's a time for my healing. What time is it? It's a time for my joy. It's a time for my overflow. It's a time for me to get what's rightfully mine. What time? Right time. What time? Right time. What time? Right time. Whose time is it? God's time. And what time is it for you? It's God's time. Not your time, but God's time. It's the right time to get what's rightfully yours. You know what I'm talking about when you make your appointment to go get your hair done. When you make your appointment to get in and get your nails done. It's your time. It's the right time. And when you step into it, it's nobody's time but your time. God has made an appointment for you now at the end of 2013. Joy to say it is your time. It is your time to get what's rightfully yours. Your time. Whose time is it? Your time. Not your neighbor's time, but your time. Because your time is not like your neighbor's time. Your time is your time with God's time. And when it meets together, there is a moment in time where God has met you in your time. Are you hearing me? It's your time. It's your time. So I've said, I won't even say it because there's some folks in here. They won't understand. They just won't understand. You need to have some Holy Ghost filled folks in here. Then understand when it's the right time. You can't just sit still. You just can't even begin to even look straight. Sometimes you got to understand that God is moving faster than what you think. He's moving towards you, but you think that he's taking too long, but he's right on time. How many times has God come into your life and been on time? Always on time. Maybe not your timing, because we have a tendency to do this. Well, God, you know my bill's due. And if I don't go pay it by 6 o'clock today, I'm going to have a late fee. And I don't like no late fees. Matter of fact, I've been late 3 months in a row. It's no longer the late fee. Now it's going to be about cut off. And I don't like to be in the dark, God. So you see, hey, you got to come through. It ain't about that time. It's about his time where he releases everything that you need to pay your bills on time. Are you not hearing me? When God begins to get into that area of your life that he looked in the past and said, you have a tendency to spend too much money before giving it to the church, or paying your bills, or doing what you're supposed to do that I've asked you to do, and now you want to hold that on me because I haven't come through. No, the right time says it's time for you to get in line and get in order with his word. So that when you get in order with his word, the word works on your behalf. Not when you only do it only a tenth of a percent. See, I want God, and I'll give him 10% of me, not even money, but I want him to give me 100% of my blessing. It don't work that way. I have never seen it work that way in Scripture either. Matter of fact, the richest man that ever is, was, and is to ever be, Solomon, no one will ever touch his wealth. They had to hire people to count all the gold, silver, and money. And then they got so tired of counting, they said, no more! There's no room for us to hold it no more. No more. I makes room. I make room. I make room. Would you make room? If I had to hire accountants all over the place, okay, you're going to get tired about noon because counting all that money. So I'm going to hire another one right behind you, and we're going to do this in shifts. Because I find all through Scripture, Jesus didn't waste nothing. He even gathered the fragments. And he didn't leave it for the people. He took it too. Hey. Well, I didn't give you a doggy bag. I'm taking the extras with me. Matter of fact, it's the ones that are working with me. Yep, y'all missed it. Yeah, everybody else that was there was looking for a handout. They didn't get the fragments. The ones that handed it out got the fragments. You ain't hearing me.
Yeah.
See, all the disciples had to do was follow the command of Jesus. Matter of fact, it didn't come out of their pockets. Mm-hmm. It wasn't their fish. Mm-hmm. Oh, it wasn't their bread either. No, it wasn't even their lunchbox, Popo. No. Matter of fact, they didn't even count those children. Like some of us get left out all the time. Never get accounted for. Have you ever seen that? Oh, man, I look for, I need someone that knows how to flow in the Holy Ghost. And they overlook you, but you're the one that had the word. Oh, yeah, you don't hear me. But what I'm trying to tell you is, watch this. Oh, excuse me. Aiden, can you hold this, please? Aiden, just hold that. Can you come with me, please? Can you come with me, Aiden? Thank you, Aiden. Here's what I want to show you. When it's the right time, he'll go back in time. He went to youth. And this is all he had. He had a little lunchbox. And inside of it was the fish and the bread. The disciples didn't have it. So why would Jesus make them gather the fragments and take the leftovers and not the little boy? God goes back in time, gathers his, thank you, Aiden, you made me see. And then he gives to the disciples. Come on, Jeff. Jesus didn't feed the multitude. Guess who did? Disciples. What Jesus did first is took the little. He blessed it. Watch this. He didn't even distribute. And he said, it's not a buffet. We're going to serve you. Oh, we live in a society can I get all I can get? Eat all I want to eat? Yeah. Watch this. They served them. So the disciples went out. And guess who gathered the fragments? The disciples. Guess who took the leftovers? The disciples. Why not the little boy? Huh? What happened? He was teaching the disciples that even if you have nothing and you obey me, you'll leave blessed. Oh, did y'all miss that? Did you miss that? Oh, don't. Oh, wait. Watch this. Look here. You didn't bring no offering to church today. But because you did what I asked you to do, you're going to leave with extra today. Oh, well, Pastor, that's going to hurt your offering. No, it ain't. Oh, we sow. The Bible says they give seed to the sower. We're going to stay on this a little bit, Aiden. Watch this. What are your name? Are you Peter? No, Peter, look at here, man. Look at here. I know you didn't want to count him at first. I know that, Peter. Matter of fact, you wanted to push him aside. This is not even yours. But because I blessed it and I put it in your hands, watch what's going to happen. Just walk through that back, very back right there. Now watch. Through the obedience of Jesus, not having anything in their hands to begin with, goes and gives out. Now, I know this isn't the whole message on that, trust me. Now watch as the disciples come back. Now it comes back with more than what he started with. Matter of fact, it started with one basket, and now you had 12 baskets. You had 13. Are y'all missing that? Y'all are not following me. There were 13. After they gathered that, he tells them, now bring this with you and get in the boat and go on the other side. What was the first thing that they dealt with on the other side? No. A demoniac. The first miracle that Jesus performed coming out of the Jordan being baptized was a man demon possessed. And he spoke to them 13 years in hiding, he comes out, gets baptized. The first miracle, it ain't the wine. The first miracle is delivering an evil spirit. Are you hearing me, leaders of this house? That spirit is being dealt with. I know where I was going the whole time. You may have a little, but if you're faithful with the little, I'll make you ruler of much. You may have come in empty-handed this year, but in this year, you're going to deal with that demon that is keeping you in fear, and you're going to overcome this fear, but you're always going to leave with more than what you came in with. Oh, you don't hear me now. You don't hear me. And when you deal with that demon of the past, guess what? He's going to make you get back in the boat once again and go to another place, and you're going to begin to do greater works. Now, hear me. This is, we're still talking about Jesus. 13 years in hiding. 13 years in hiding. Have you have loved ones? Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. Loved ones that have been out of church for a few years. Yeah, you have loved ones and friends that don't want to get close to God because they're out of it for a few years. Maybe you could start counting the years. They're coming back. They're coming back. Why are they coming back? They're coming back because God is calling them back. As he calls them back, he begins to do a greater work in them that they have access to carry them to their next place. Oh, come on. Try not to get too deep. I really do. I try. Josh, I understand. Sometimes we go through life with the Holy Ghost just stirring inside of us, but we don't see anything taking form. You feel like you've been passed over. You feel like no one's looking at you. You feel like no one even knows that you're anointed and appointed. But there's something called such a time as this, that God will call you out of obscurity, out of not seeing anything into fulfillment, but now he calls you into your harvest time, where you begin to do the things that God has called you to do when nobody else wanted to see you do it. Anointing and power does not come while everybody's watching. It comes when you ain't been seen. At 12, he's in the temple doing what he was going to do. Get back over here. It ain't yet your time. This time, Chronos, the time that you can see that your days and nights are governed by. And you don't see much happening. Matter of fact, all you see is a lot of disappointment. A lot of letdowns, a lot of pain, and a lot of hurt. You feel like everything that's been just all over you and weighing you down. And you don't begin to see anything taking root or taking form. You're just underneath the surface. And during this dark time of your life, God is producing you healthy roots. And the healthy roots are beginning to dig deeper and deeper. And then all of a sudden, the right time comes. And that right time is the now time of God. And he brings you out. And the first thing that he says is, now let go of that old dirty self. Get baptized in the Jordan of transition. As you transition out of being a regular man, you're going to step into being the Son of Man. And as you step into being the Son of Man, yeah, you're going to be facing the devil himself. Because every time you go through the dunking of a baptism, the devil comes and stares you right in the face. And nothing changes, nothing but dirty water anyhow. But I'm here to tell you that when you let the old go, you can step into the new, and the new door is open. And for some of you, your new door, you're going to bust through, you're going to run through, and you're going to go get what's rightfully yours. Others may walk through the door like, I don't even know it's there, but I'm going to walk anyhow. I may be a little tired, but I'm going to get there, and it's still going to be waiting for you. You got to understand that God is doing it for you, because he's looked back over the course of your time when you've been pushed aside, set aside, and no one even looked at you. All they did was criticize you. All they did was lie about you. And all they did is kind of kick you out on the curb. And God says, in my timing, you will reap your harvest. Then they'll say, truly God's been good to you, because you understand the principle of sowing and reaping. When you sow with the little, God says, even the widow's mites had more value than everybody else because she gave with her heart. Some of y'all need to understand, you may not see the fulfillment over the past. But someone close by you maybe has stepped into the prophetic destiny. I remember at a time when the church was faced that way. And there was a few young ladies that stood in line. And God prophesied to them, by this time next year, you shall be married or give birth. There's a young lady in this room, without making her embarrassed, has stepped into that fulfillment and prophecy come to pass and married her Boaz. Mm-hmm. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Is that God will speak it. You may not see it, but at its right time. Say right time. It is my right time. You may be standing looking back over your life saying, how did this? How did this happen? It's the right time. The right time. Our only requirement is to deposit seed. You can water it with your tears, water it with prayer, intercession. Some of y'all even go even deeper and go fasting 40 days, 30 days, 10 days. Behind me saying, you go to fasting, and I'm going to make this come to pass. It's going to happen. I'm going to fast. Get all skinny, and none of your clothes are going to fit you. But only God makes it grow. And at that right time, someone got it. What time? Your time. Your time may not be her time, but it'll be your time. Is it your time? Is it your time? Is it your time? Then it's time to take advantage of the time. And don't let the opportunity pass you by. But make an opportunity of the opportunity. You hear me? It's the right time. In spite of what others may think, it's the right time. And when it's your right time, God didn't ask permission from nobody. It's the right time. The right time. And there's nothing you can do but to just step in it. Step in it. And then you'll see what you worried about, what you prayed about, what you fasted about is no longer an issue. It's the right time. The right time. Are you ready for the right time?
Yes.
Are you ready for the right time? Yes. Are you ready for 2013 to be shut, closed, and in the books?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Bring this thing to a close.
Amen.
I believe, say this, I believe.
I believe that.
I believe.
I believe that.
I believe that we.
I believe that we.
I believe that we.
I believe that we.
I believe that we can.
I believe that we can.
I believe that we can win.
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 Now say it like you mean it.
I believe
that we can. Do you believe like you can win?
Yes.
I believe that we can win. What are we going to win? The Bible says that the Apostle Paul writes that I am going to run this race, not to tire and not to weary, but to run it to the end, to the prize of the high calling. I'm going to win my race. I'm going to win this. In the end, my prize will be something that God has for me in heaven. But while I'm here on this earth, my time is now. Make the best of your time now. Don't be looking to the future for your time. Your time is now. The Bible says that your tomorrow is not even promised to you. Don't even worry about tomorrow. It has enough problems of its own. If you can just step through the time that you're in now, you can step into time of the future. Because your time is now. God is not subject to time. Time is subject to God. And because you hold God within your heart, you hold the true living Christ within you. And all time is subject unto Him. But when your heart begins to speak out of the abundance of time, it declares what you're stepping into. Are you hearing what the Spirit of God is saying? 2014 is going to be a year that the land is going to say, truly, God has blessed you. Oh, it's been trying. It's been testing. It's the approval process to be approved by God. And guess what? He died for you without your approval. He died for you so that you can be approved by God and step through the gates, the rightful door. Because your year has come to an end. But a new day, a fresh day, a clean slate, if you would, is staring right at you as a window of opportunity. Don't let it pass you by. If God is calling you to a fast, obey. Obey. Well, I need my food. Well, you don't need Facebook. You don't need Twitter. Some of y'all don't even need the movies. TV. Or the pop-a top again. Maybe God is trying to get us to step into time. But we're always reaching back and trying to bring it into our future. Don't go back to the future. Just go to the future. If He takes you back, it's to get the chains off of you that you brought into your now. That's what it's about. Every now and then we have to be like a battering ram. We take a step back to get momentum to go forward. The stepping back is not necessarily the enemy. The stepping back is to regroup, refocus, and realign, and to go forward. So that the door can be opened for you, so that you can embrace the new. There will be some manifestation of homes. There will be manifestations of new jobs. And I'm going to say this, Popo. There's going to be manifestation of ministries. Manifestation of babies. Manifestation of marriages. Even those, and I hear this very, very strong. Even those that cannot get pregnant will bear forth a child. Those that have been battling with drugs and alcohol, I feel this even stronger than anything else. Prescription drugs. I hear the Spirit of God saying, I'm going to invade your space with my presence of mercy and grace. You will hear of me entering into that place. Watch this. Even Adam, after he sinned and fell, heard God walking towards him. Woo! You may feel like you have messed up, but you'll hear God walking to you to help you get you through. The mercy and the grace to be extended to you to bring you out of that bondage, whomever you are. Painkillers. Painkillers. Whoever it is in this room, is in this room. He's going to challenge you. He's going to challenge you to become friendly, approachable, nice. going to challenge you not to be critical and judgmental. He'll challenge you by showing His grace and His mercy to you, to reveal to you the bondage of rejection, and take you to that place of where the root is connected. You've never been abandoned, says the Spirit of the living God. I have always been with you. When you were alone and you had to fend for yourself at a very young age, and responsibility was put on you to raise a family, and you didn't even know how to raise a family, but the responsibility was put on you, I hear the Spirit of God saying, I'm here to remove the bitterness of growth and maturity. That you've used maturity, you've used maturity as a level of defense. Wisdom that is obtained by man will be used to manipulate man. Wisdom that comes from God will be used to elevate man to God. Rejection will cause those to seek out acceptance from man, and not realizing you've been accepted by God. The spirit of rejection has caused many to be under oppression and depression. And during this very season, people are turning to prescription drugs. Sleepless nights, restless in the mind. I don't want to put anybody in blast. If that's you, you don't have to make any gestures to anybody in this room. God knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking before you even speak it. Now is the time to speak to God right where you're at. Tell God, that's me. Help me. You know it's me. I know it's me. I've identified that it is me. Help me through this season. I want to step out and I want to step in. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare over the precious people of God right now that their new season is here. It is their time. It is the right time. It is God's time. And I prophesy into this atmosphere right now, Father, as a delivering spirit, go forth and deliver every yoke of bondage and oppression off of the lives of your people. I thank you right now, Father, that the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of God and the anointing of God destroys every yoke. And right now, Father, everything that has caused us to stumble and fall by our own will and our own volition, right now, Father, I speak in the atmosphere of revelation, knowledge come into the atmosphere, Lord. That the mind be renewed and the heart changed. That the soul line up, Father God, with the Word of God. That their mind, will, and their emotions line up with you, God. And that this way they can be in line to receive your Word that will penetrate their soul. To change what needs to be changed and break what needs to be broken. But to heal what needs to be mended. Father, I thank you right now by the Spirit of the living God. I thank you that there's liberty. I thank you that there's freedom in your presence, God. And I thank you, God, that this is the right now time. Right now time. That we can accept your word and take it into 2014. That this is that year that you have made for us. And it is the good and well acceptable year of the Lord. I thank you for healing virtue right now, Father God. Across relationships and marriages right now in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you right now for the healing virtue to heal a broken heart, a broken spirit, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Someone's relationship had ended so so badly that it's caused you to feel like you can't even allow anybody in to love you because you're afraid of being hurt. I break that off of you right now in the name of Jesus, and I break every soul tie associated with it right now in Jesus' mighty name. And I declare to you liberty and freedom in the Holy Ghost. Sick among you, have them come before the elders of the church and have the elders anoint their head with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and you shall be healed. If that is you, come to the front. And the healing doesn't have to be sickness or disease. Sometimes the healing can be emotional and relational. If that's you, come to the front. Come to the front so we can pray with you. Get my oil.